Army scientists and engineers are advancing sensors research in hopes of giving future soldiers enhanced situational awareness. Soldiers by 2025 and beyond might wear sensors to help detect and prevent threats like dehydration, elevated blood pressure. For more on the possibilities, we turn to Dr. Donald Rago. He's the director of the Night Vision and Electronic Sensors Directorate in Fort Belvoir. Dr. Rago, thanks for joining me.
Well, good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
All right, so what kind of sensors are you looking at? What is this research entailing?
Well, for the last 50 years, my lab has been responsible for developing the sensors to allow soldiers to see and to perform their missions in day and night in degraded weather. For example, we developed the night vision goggles, which you see in media all the time these days, thermal imagers, which are used for targeting, eye-safe laser systems, even mine and ID detection equipment, like ground-penetrating radars. And, traditionally, our soldiers provide the soldier his eyes at night, and soldiers trust what they see, and the vision is paramount for executing their mission. Our newest sensor technology uses thermal imaging that works equally well in the day and the night. So what we're finding is soldiers are now using our sensors as the primary way they see things on the battlefield. They use it to navigate, to search for targets, to warn of the enemies approaching, to look for suspicious activity, identify hostile and non-combatants, and even to engage targets.
So in other words, they would never conduct their activities with the so-called naked eye anymore. There would be a goggle on with this sensor ability at all times?
That's correct. And an important new frontier for us is to have our sensors operate in degraded visual conditions, such as dust and fog, snowstorms. Our soldiers want to be free to act and execute their missions in the worst of these conditions to give themselves an advantage. In the past, the Army's motto was own the night, and now it's becoming more like own the bad weather. And to get to that state, we're working with industry to develop a next generation of infrared sensor technology that's 10 times more sensitive than what we have today that will allow us to see through these very challenging conditions. I see other benefits for this technology in things like medical diagnosis and testing and high-end manufacturing, monitoring of physiological signs, and even exploration of natural resources.
Yeah, I want to get to that, but first on the ability to see through fog or grime or smog or whatever the case might be with infrared, what is required in terms of the backup technology that someone would have to carry with them besides the goggles? Do you have to have some sort of a processor that's heavy? I mean, what is the challenge to getting this deployed?
That's a great question. Yeah, we are moving. It's funny. We are moving really away from the goggle technology. Goggles are sort of like binoculars in that the light comes in and the light gets amplified and comes back out to your eye. Our next generation of technology, we're moving to digital systems where we have a camera and a processor, and those camera and processor then project the information into the soldier's eye through a helmet-mounted display. Something sort of like what Tony Stark has in Iron Man, if you want to have a vision of it. And so as we move into that technology, we have tremendous challenges in reducing the size, the weight, and the power consumption so that the individual soldier can minimize his burden and execute his mission.
So the camera would be presumably on top of the helmet?
Correct. It's miniaturized and embedded in the helmet. The display is embedded in the eyewear. And then the processing is as we, migrating more and more to the sensor itself.
And so if someone is looking through a display, as it were, that's coming from a camera on top of the head, do you still have the spatial relationships and ability to move in 3D that you would have with your own two eyes?
That's correct. That's exactly right. In fact, one of the great advantages of this is you maintain that three-dimensional situational awareness from having the knowledge of your surroundings. Plus, we can, now that we're in the digital domain, we can begin to bring external information from the network into the soldier so that he can see where the relationship for his own forces are, where the enemy is, where threats are, all registered in a three-dimensional space so that he can maintain a greater situation awareness.
I guess it's sort of like a GoPro on steroids, all of this.
That's a good characterization, but much wider fields of view. Think of it more like IMAX, in terms of the presentation to the eye. It's an immersive experience.
All right, and what about the physiological monitoring of people that are under stress of battle or patrol and that kind of thing?
Well, there are many sensor technologies which are being developed to physiologically monitor. One byproduct of these sensitive infrared systems is that we can perform some monitoring of human conditions and determine if somebody's under stress or in an injured state. With the multispectral technology we're working on, it's possible to see even at night if somebody's bleeding, those sorts of things.
So how does that work in terms of practical deployment, or how might it?
Well, the thought here is, again, as we migrate to the digital technology and continue to miniaturize the sensors, that a lot of these capabilities can be embedded right into the sensor signal processing so that the next generation, you won't have a separate box or anything. It will just be part of your total vision package.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Donald Rago. He's the director of the Night Vision and Electronic Sensors Directorate for the Army in Fort Belvoir. So it sounds like, I mean, I've read about this in the commercial domain or the sporting domain, where eventually shirts and so forth will have sensors wired into the cloth that can help people do whatever they're doing. Is this the kind of thing you're envisioning for a soldier's uniform at some point down the line?
Our vision sensors always require an optic, so they require some sort of lens. So I think your GoPro analogy was probably a little closer. One of our goals, however, is to embed these sensors into the soldier's ensemble as equipment so that it's not an external box that's stuck on, like a GoPro, for example.
And so somehow it could look at itself, so to speak, or look at the person and give information about the condition of that person's physiological state?
That's a possibility, or it could also be used to look at the other people in your squad, for example.
Okay, and so it sounds like it's something that, in other words, it would have a remote capability too. Someone else could see what is being seen by the person close up.
Correct.
All right, and what is the timeline? I mean, how close are these things to reality, would you say?
Well, it's interesting. The technology in this area is turning over very rapidly, and we're seeing new generations of equipment come online every 3 to 5 years. Our goal is to get these advanced technologies into the Army in the next 10 years, and if you know anything about the DoD acquisition cycle, that's very challenging, but we're very fortunate. We have some great partners we're working with to try to get the technology accelerated and into the field.
I mean, in the commercial area, say, for infrared, where is the research being directed? Is it at the sensors? Is it at the processing technology? Where are the advances coming that could eventually make their way back into the Army?
Most of the sensor technology investments come from the military. The investments in the commercial world are primarily at leveraging the military investments and adapting them to be commercial products, which has been successful and helps the DoD because we can reduce our acquisition costs. Most of the efforts in the commercial domain are primarily at cost reduction, which, of course, we can always take advantage of. On the other side, we can take advantage of a lot of the processing, as you mentioned, that comes out of the commercial world and adapt it into our military-specific systems.
All right, but the attached to individual types of sensors, plastic, flexible types of things, those are still a little ways off yet, sounds like.
A little bit, but coming quickly.
All right, and what about keeping an advantage, going back to the vision and being able to see through bad weather and so forth with infrared? How does the Army maintain the advantage there relative to potential enemies?
Well, that's becoming more and more of a challenge. Ever since those first images went out in Desert Storm, the rest of the world has caught wind of this technology, and there are capabilities now worldwide. Our Army is the only one in the world where every frontline soldier has a night vision device, and I think that's a tremendous force multiplier, and we've been very fortunate that the Army and the services, Department of Defense, has been willing to maintain the investments to keep our industry ahead of the rest of the world. But it's going to be a challenge from here on out.
All right, and how do you actually get those things into testing? Do you pick a brigade and say, you know, this squadron or this platoon will have it?
Well, testing is rigorous and always starts out with laboratory testing, and then we experiment with soldiers from our user community. And then if things look promising, the Army has venues where small groups of units can evaluate the technology and give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And if that's successful, then the Army goes into acquisition through our program executive officers, who we support when we actually buy the technology in large amounts.
And just a final thought that occurred to me when we're talking about miniaturizing these things so they can become personal types of sensors, it seems like they could also scale up for ships and vehicles that could also see through sandstorms or see through fog, which is always a problem and always has been. And it seems like that would be something that the commercial world would really dive at.
Yeah, I foresee that will be a valuable commodity for the commercial world. We are also looking at this for, as you said, for driving and flying and those applications. And you see in the commercial sector some adoption of this technology for night driving. for obstacle avoidance, and I believe if the technologies we're working on are successful, you'll see those migrate into the commercial world for the same things you just said.
I just hope they keep headlights so the people walking can see somebody coming.
Yes. Yeah, headlights is a good thing.
All right. Dr. Donald Rago is the Director of the Night Vision and Electronic Sensors Directorate at Fort Belvoir for the Army. Thanks so much for joining me.